الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. هيا للصلاة. هيا للصلاة. هيا للفلاح. هيا للفلاح. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. لا إله إلا الله.
الحمد لله. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وأورثنا القوم الذين كانوا يستضعفون مشارق الأرض ومغاربها التي باركنا فيها، وتمت كلمة ربك الحسنى على بني إسرائيل بما صبروا، ودمرنا ما كان يصنع فرعون وقومه وما كانوا يعرشون. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: ستفتح عليكم الشام ف فإن خيرتم المنازل فيها فعليكم بمدينة يقال فإنها معقل المسلمين من الملاحم وفسطاتها منها أرض يقال لها الغوطة رواه أحمد أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. Exactly 1 year ago, from this very minbar, or did I see the minbar has changed? But figuratively from this very minbar, we had discussed the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam relating to the war that had been in its third month at that time, and that was the war in Gaza. Ahadith relating to Baytul Muqaddas, the precincts of Baytul Muqaddas, the people of Gaza, ahadith relating to the place called Asqalan, which is on the border of Gaza, and these prophecies of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam we had discussed. Who knew that 1 year's time we will have to discuss prophecies of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding another city and regarding another land in which something very big has occurred, and that is the land of Sham and the land of Damascus, or the city of Damascus. Just as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has prophesied regarding Baytul Muqaddas, the precincts of Baytul Muqaddas, there are general prophecies of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam relating to the entire land of Sham. The land of Sham is not restricted to Syria. Rather, Syria, Lebanon, Palestine, southern Turkey, northern Egypt, certain parts of Saudi, all form the Sham that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke about. So something that we could perhaps call the greater Syria area. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke about the land of Sham, then he spoke about this entire area. And we find that there are many ahadith, many ayat of the Quran and Majid as well, relating to this land, the barakat of this land. The very famous ayat we always hear, Barakna hawlahu, that Allah placed barakah and blessings in the precincts of Masjid al-Aqsa. But this is not the only ayah, there are other ayat as well, inshallah. At the end we will discuss one ayah, which is very relevant and very apt to the situation that is unfolding. But before we go there, to discuss a few ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like that there are many ahadith. Ulama have written detailed books on the fadail and the virtues of this land of Sham. But just to discuss a few ahadith, inshallah, try to contextualize these ahadith. One hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned regarding the land of Sham, man sabara ala shiddatiha wa la'wa'iha. The hadith appears in Sunan Tirmidhi. The narrator is Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma, quoting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that that person who bears with patience the difficulties of the land of Sham. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke about bearing with patience the difficulties of the land of Sham. And in the last few decades, the people of this land have gone through a lot of difficulties. Whether it be on the Palestinian side of Sham, or whether it be on the Syrian side of Sham. Perhaps we did not know what the people of Syria were going through. More than 50 years, more than half a century of oppression that they were subjected to. And some of the worst type of torture and oppression in the world. Now because Western media is giving some type of coverage, because all of a sudden their allegiances have changed. So now they are giving some type of coverage to the oppression and torture that went on in those slaughterhouses of Bashar Assad and in those dungeons. Therefore now we come to know a little what these people went through. I don't wish to go into incidents because I'm sure we are acquainted of the incidents that are coming out. But just one from the many. There was a woman who's now released at the age of 85 years of age. What was her crime? She spent more than 40 years in prison. The crime that this woman committed was her neighbor's daughter was interested in marrying one of the military generals. She only suggested to her neighbor, don't let your daughter marry that general. Because of that 42 or 43 years in prison, another person was released, also more than 40 years in prison. His crime, he did not stand up to greet one of the military generals. 40 years in prison. No case, no trial whatsoever. So this is just a glimpse. Like that, there's so much that's coming out, and there will be so much that is not even coming out. Imagine the sabr that these people made. This week they discovered a grave, mass grave. How many people in a mass grave? The reports are saying, difficult to believe, but the reports are saying 100,000 people. 100,000 people in a mass grave. Imagine the sabr these people made. And the world didn't know what was going on. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned regarding this land, man sabara ala shiddatiha wa la'wa'iha. That person who bears with patience the difficulties of this land, kuntu lahu shafi'an aw shahidan yawm al-qiyamah. I will be an intercessor on his behalf on the day of qiyamah. There were no lawyers to speak on their behalf. No one to fight their trial. No one to fight their cases. But Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, on the day when real justice will be meted out, we may be thinking, but the man escaped, so now he's safe. He should have been killed. If he was killed, what would that be compared to the torture and the torment of Jahannam which is waiting for him? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran Majeed, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ غَافِلًا عَمَّا يَعْمَلُ الظَّالِمُونَ. Whether it be this oppressor that has fallen, whether it be the other oppressors that are oppressing the innocent people in the world, especially the Muslim Ummah, Allah says, don't ever think that Allah is unaware of what the oppressors are doing. إِنَّمَا يُؤَخِّرُهُمْ لِيَوْمٍ تَشْخَصُ فِيهِ الْأَبْصَارِ. Allah is only delaying them till that day in which the eyes will be staring out of shock, out of horror. And Allah goes on to explain about Qiyamah and the scenes of Qiyamah. On that day, real justice will be meted out. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, on that day, I will be their lawyer. I will be their advocate. These people who bared with patience all the difficulties of Sham, whether it be in Palestine, in Gaza, and the difficulties that they're going through, really it pains our heart, and we can never forget that it's still happening. In fact, it's increased in the last few days. We can never forget that. We always have to keep that in the front of our mind. We said it last year also, and I'll say it again. Doesn't mean we on holiday, the oppression is stopped there. The holiday hasn't come for them. Everything is continuing. The difficulties are continuing. The bombing is going on. The atrocities are continuing. So whether it be those that are oppressed in Gaza, in the rest of Palestine, whether it be these that were oppressed in Syria, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, I will be the intercessor on the day of Qiyamah, and I will be a witness on their behalf for the difficulties that they went through in the real court, and that is the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A very similar virtue Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned regarding the people of Madinah Munawwara. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned this virtue regarding the people of Sham. So this is one fadila and one virtue of these people. In another hadith, we will discuss a few random ahadith depending on how much time permits. In one hadith of Musnad Ahmad, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, بَيْنَمَا أَنَا نَائِمٌ, whilst I was sleeping, meaning in the dream, إِذْ رَأَيْتُ عَمُودَ الْكِتَابِ أُحْتُمِلَ مِنْ تَحْتِ رَأْسِي. I saw the support of the kitab, the support of the book. Now there's great discussion among the commentators of hadith,
And therefore we have to refer to the commentators of hadith. We can't give our own explanations. So they say that the support of the kitab means the support of deen. And the support of deen is generally through a government or through a kingdom, through some type of support that deen will receive from people of deen or from people who will support deen. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the support of the kitab, meaning the support of deen, that which props up deen, amud actually refers to the center pole of a tent. So that was taken out from beneath my pillow. And in other narrations, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that the malaika came and took it out. And he says, I thought that now it's going to vanish, it's going to go away. فَظَنَنْتُ أَنَّهُ مَذْهُوبٌ بِهِ فَأَتْبَعْتُ بَصَرِي. He says, فَأَتْبَعْتُهُ بَصَرِي. He says, I continuously looked. Where is it going? فَأُمِدَ بِهِ إِلَى الشَّامِ. The support of deen was taken to Sham. It was taken to Sham. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَأَلَا وَإِنَّ الْإِيمَانَ حِينَ تَقَعُ الْفِتَنُ بِالشَّامِ. Listen, at the time when there will be fitnas, when there will be a lot of challenges, dini challenges, then iman will be in Sham. So the virtue of this land again, that this land will have a very strong support of deen. A very strong dini support. Some ulama, some commentators of hadith explain it to refer to the period when the Banu Umayyah ruled over Sham. And from there, that was the center of the Muslim rule at that time. And then thereafter, for a long time, Sham was that place in which deen flourished. Deen flourished. There were great ulama that were produced in Sham. But respected friends, the last 50 years have been very, very detrimental for deen in Syria. One is the oppression that is coming out. Just as there are so many Syrian refugees in other parts of the world, belonging to different professions, Syrian ulama were forced to leave Syria and to go to different parts of the world. Syrian ulama were great ulama, they were forced to leave Syria. Many of them are residing in Turkey. Alhamdulillah, they gave them the type of freedom to live there. Many of them are living there. Others went over to Makkah Mukarramah, Madinah Munawwara. And some of them were forced to leave there as well in their old age. And when they left Madinah Munawwara, they went to Turkey and they're residing in Turkey. So, this was a center of Islamic learning, a center of deen. So it could be that Rasulullah ﷺ was speaking about previously, the support of deen that came from this land of Sham. And other ulama are of the opinion that this refers to the time before Qiyamah, when this will be the center of Islam, as many ahadith explain, the center of Islam, Mahdi radiallahu anhu will be based in Sham, and this is where Dajjal will be fought, major wars will be fought in this area, and Dajjal will be killed here. So, whether it refers to that time, previously, or it refers to something that is still going to come, this is a very, very great virtue. One of the greatest virtues of this land of Sham is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving this glad tidings that deen will remain in this land. They not only remain, there will be a support of deen here in this land. And it will be the center of deen. The center of deeni activities. Respected friends, if you spoke to someone a few months ago, a few weeks ago, he'll say, this land, Syria, go see how Muslims are being oppressed. They can't even perform salah properly. They can't even go for Fajr salah. How is it going to be a center of deen? The change. Yes, what the future holds, we don't know. Now we're so skeptical, but you know, revolutions happen elsewhere. What's going to happen here? We don't know about the future, etc. But inshallah, the future can never be as bad as the past. The future can never be as bad as the past. If we know what went on in this land, the oppression that went on, for us to be skeptical or for us to be concerned about the future is natural. But it should not stop us from being happy that this oppression has come to an end. This is becoming a very confusing point. And the reason is, respected friends, by and large, not fully, but there was a major plan for the region. One is, we know the plan of the greater Israel. We know that plan. But there was a major plan of the greater Iran. And the Shia crescent. And the so-called axis of resistance. And in the last few months, they tried to pick up this image of theirs, that we are the saviors of the Ummah. We are the ones standing up for Palestine. This has destroyed that entire plan. 40 years of planning. Billions of dollars have gone into this. Allah made this entire plan shattered. Allah shattered the entire plan. And because of that, a lot of the negative that is coming through is coming from this sector. It's coming from this side. And they're coming with ridiculous arguments or ridiculous doubts, not even arguments, ridiculous doubts. Yes, as we said, we don't know what the future holds. And we have to make dua. It's very, very complicated. The Syrian war was always complicated. The future is complicated. It's a very volatile region. The future also, there's a lot that's going to happen in this region. It's not going to be easy. But at the same time, the least amount of solidarity that we can show with our brothers and sisters in Syria, and understand very well they are also special people because they are also from the Sham region. Just as the people of Gaza are special, just as the Palestinians are special, and they're close to our heart because they are from Sham, these people are also the people of Sham. And their suffering was nothing less than the people of Palestine and Gaza. In fact, in certain respects, it may be more. In certain respects, it may be more. We're not undermining the difficulty and the challenges of the people of Gaza. It's very, very serious. But these people have gone through so much. And now, when it's their time of rejoicing, they're so happy that this regime has come to an end. What the future holds, that's another issue. But what this regime has come to an end. Whoever put an end to it, the oppression has ended. The prisoners have been released. A lady in her 85 years of age, where she would have ever thought that she would have been released? An amazing incident was 50 people, or maybe a few more than 50. They were supposed to be executed on the same day that they were released. Imagine the system of Allah. They were expecting today was the day of our execution. We're going to come out from here and be executed. Allah's plan is something else. And this is a lesson for us, that days may seem to be dark. There's no future in our personal lives sometimes. But how Allah makes the opening, where would they have ever dreamt that a revolution will take place, and precisely on the day of their execution they will be released. So we need to be happy for all of this that has happened. And as we explain, that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that this is going to be the center of Islam. There has to be a Dini uprising in this land. When it's going to happen, we don't know. We don't know when it's going to happen. We can't give a time frame for it. But inshallah, that day is going to come. When this is going to be the center of Islam. Whether it is after this revolution, or whether it can be another 100, 200, 300 years time. That no one can say. But inshallah, there's a great future for this land. And therefore this land has to be very close to our hearts. And then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam concludes this hadith, and he says, "Innal imana khina taqa'ul fitanu bisham." That at a time when there will be fitnas in the ummah, then iman will be in this land of Sham. Iman will be here. Respected friends, hear the statements of iman coming from the people of Sham. Whether it be Gaza, whether it be the people of Syria, the statements of iman. Someone said it very nicely. He wrote, and he said that if any other nation had to undergo such dini oppression and suppression, most probably they would have lost their iman by now. They would have lost their iman by now. It is because these people are so special. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has spoke about their iman. Maybe they're not so committed to deen, because they didn't have the freedom to practice deen. Now reports are coming that in the prison, the prisoners say, under the blankets we used to perform our salah. Under the blankets, it was a crime to perform salah. It was a crime to take the name of Allah. Despite those challenges, these people have still preserved the iman. They have preserved the iman because Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has prophesied that this will be the iman of these people. There's so many other hadith. Just one more hadith before we go on to that ayat of Quran Sharif that I want to discuss inshallah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has spoken specifically about Damascus. And a very great prophecy. A great prophecy of something that's going to happen in the future. But this was the mu'jiza of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The miracle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That 1500 years ago, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave such details that we haven't even seen now. And it's still going to happen. Certain things we are seeing it now, certain things are still going to happen. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prophesized that Isa alayhi salatu wa sallam will come down, a very lengthy narration of Sahih Muslim, when Dajjal will be causing mischief etc. throughout the earth. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that at that time, فَبَيْنَمَا هُوَ كَذَلِكِ إِذْ بَعَثَ اللَّهُ الْمَسِيحَ ابْنَ مَرْيَمْ. When all of this mischief of Dajjal will be going on, Allah will send down Isa alayhi salatu wa sallam. فَيَنْزِلُ عِنْدَ الْمَنَارَةِ الْبَيْضَاءِ شَرْقِيَّ دِمَشْقِ. And he will come down, he will descend near, or he will descend on the white minara, on the white minara on the eastern side of Damascus. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke about this, there was no Damascus was not under the control of the Muslims. He took the word Dimashq by name, Damascus. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that on the eastern side of Damascus there will be a white minaret, the color of the minaret also. Imagine what was the level of yaqeen that Sahaba radiallahu anhum had on the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Na'uzu billah, if it was us who would be there, we may have said, but Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there's nothing like that. Where's that minaret? There's no minaret there. There's no iman there. There's no masjid there. What minaret you speaking about? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said at that time, the white minaret on the eastern side of Damascus. So much is linked to this city. The city that fell, or not fell, that was liberated on the 8th of December. So much is linked to the city. Ibn Kathir rahimullah, the great muhaddith and historian, he writes, and he says that this is a mu'jiza of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he says, now in our time, there is a white minaret on the eastern side of Damascus. There's great detail exactly, some say he'll come down in Baytul Muqaddas, etc. But just the point, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prophesied that Isa alayhi salatu wa sallam will come down here on the minara on the eastern side of Damascus. Like this, there are so many ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding Sham, regarding Baytul Muqaddas, regarding Damascus. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaks about a town outside Damascus, Ghouta, which went through 5 years of siege. 5 years of siege. When I said before that perhaps the Syrians went through more than what the Palestinians went through, we may be thinking this Maulana is shooting from his hips. According to Wikipedia, I haven't checked up because it's difficult to find other authentic sources of what happened recently. But between April 2013 and March 2018, this area of Ghouta was under siege. Thousands of people were killed during this 5-year siege. There were war crimes, crimes against humanity, all documented. Prohibited weapons, chemical warfare, attacks against protected objects, hospitals, schools, starvation as a method of warfare. What we're seeing in the north of Gaza, what we're seeing in Gaza at the moment, starvation as a method of warfare, denial of medical evacuation, all of this is happening in Gaza currently. These people went through the same. Nabi Islam spoke about this place Ghouta by name. Obviously he didn't mention about the siege. Nabi Islam mentioned about close to Qiyamah, this will be an asylum, an enclave, a place of refuge for the Muslims at that time. Nabi Islam took the name of Damascus, of Ghouta, etc. This is a land that has a lot, inshallah, in terms of the future. We should be happy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put an end to the oppression, an end to the war. We make dua and we hopeful that inshallah the future also will be good. And the future will be prosperous, inshallah. One ayat of Quran Majeed that very aptly sums up this discussion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran Majeed regarding the Banu Israel, وَأَوْرَثْنَا الْقَوْمَ الَّذِينَ كَانُوا يُسْتَضْعَفُونَ مَشَارِقَ الْأَرْضِ وَمَغَارِبَهَا الَّتِي بَارَكْنَا فِيهَا. Allah says that that nation that was regarded as weak, Mufassirin say Allah used the word regarded as weak. Not that they were weak. They were strong. The Sunnis were the majority in Syria. They were made to seem to be weak. They were oppressed. They were not weak. Yustad'afun. Allah says those that were regarded to be weak, we made them inherit the land. If we're looking who's behind this revolution, right at the end, it is Allah that's behind this revolution. That's our belief as Muslims. The land belongs to Allah. It doesn't belong to any superpower. It doesn't belong to any people who are behind the scenes controlling things outwardly. It is Allah who controls the land. Awrathna. Allah is saying, we are the ones who gave control of the land to those who were deemed as weak. Which land? The east and the west of that land in which we place barakah, referring to the land of Sham. So it happened for the Banu Israel. Inshallah, it's happening now again. And Allah says, وَتَمَّتْ كَلِمَةُ رَبِّكَ الْحُسْنَى عَلَىٰ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ بِمَا صَبَرُوا. The promise of Allah was completed on the Banu Israel. It was fulfilled on the Banu Israel because of the sabr that they made. Again, so apt. Allah has concluded that promise of putting an end to an oppressor and a dictator. Bima sabaru, because of the sabr of these people. And then Allah says, وَدَمَّرْنَا مَا كَانَ يَسْنَعُ فِرْعَوْنُ وَقَوْمُهُ وَمَا كَانُوا يَعْرِشُونَ. And whatever Fir'aun built, and whatever he had projected, all of that we destroyed it. If you want to equate Bashar al-Assad to anyone, the only person you can equate him is to Fir'aun. If you study what he did, etc., claiming, making people while torturing them, say, La ilaha illa Bashar. There is no ilah besides Bashar, na'uzubillah. He claimed to be a god. So Allah says, whatever plans they may have had, whatever plans Iran and the Shia axis may have had, Allah says, وَدَمَّرْنَا مَا كَانَ يَسْنَعُ فِرْعَوْنَ. We destroyed all of that. Let us build our yaqeen on Allah. Yes, we do understand that there may be influences, there may be interferences, etc. That happens. But at the end of the day, when Allah wants something to happen, it will definitely happen. Let us have our hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is Allah who will come to the assistance of the oppressed people. Bima sabaru, because of the patience, the perseverance that they make, Allah will definitely help them. Just as this revolution has taken place in Syria, and the end of the oppression has come, inshallah, very soon it's going to happen in Gaza as well. Very soon it will happen in Palestine as well. Allah does not tolerate zulm. Allah doesn't tolerate oppression. Allah just allows the oppressor to do more oppression so he can fall faster and he can be punished even worse. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspire us. May Allah allow us to take lesson from what's going on, and may Allah allow us to change our lives and to keep the ummah close to our heart, not forget the ummah, and do those things that will draw the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially during the next few weeks. It's very, very difficult in terms of dini challenges, the amount of guna, etc. Respected friends, keeping the ummah before us, let us do those things that will draw down the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa maulana Muhammadi wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.
Brothers, while we're standing up for your sunnahs, please fill up all the gaps from the front. Come to the front, fill up all the gaps on both the sides as well, so that all the brothers on the back can come inside as well. Make it easy for everybody. Jazakallah khair.